making soccer news for insight that excels, for expert analytics. You better go somewhere else. Portland Bay Soccer Podcast. Enjoy it now, cause it probably won't last. Bitches poop, they cover it all. They'll discuss everything except football. Portland Vanity Soccer Podcast.
Welcome to episode 94, season 5, episode 5.
If you're counting.
Of the Portland Vanity Soccer Podcast, a tale of four halves. My name is Jonathan Everett, and I'm coming to you from Northeast Portland.
I am Josh, and I am coming to you as a citizen of the world.
And Greg in Northwest Portland, today we're talking about some results, an inbound signing probably, and we're going to make some predictions.
Oh. So we have predictions for the first game. We did not think ahead and do predictions for the second game, but I'm going to pretend that I would have predicted that score for the second game and take the credit. Thanks, guys. But moving on to the first game. Let's talk about a little DC United on a chilly evening in Portland, Oregon. What was the game time temperature, boys? Do you remember?
Cold as balls.
It's like a casual 35. It was a cold evening. And I have to say, even still, the activity flurry around 1737 was amazing, especially when Greg invited his 47 friends into the back.
And I had to work the van.
Josh was the slowest retail employee that I've ever witnessed in my entire consumer lifetime. And it was like when someone's trying to learn how to use a system, they should have like a trainer there showing them how to use it. And he just didn't have one. And Brianna was going, okay, like we'll just hang out here. And we had a great time.
By the end of the night, I was so fast. I run that system now. I could do it anytime.
Okay, well, we'll have to see what happens. But
it was a fun night. It was fun.
Yeah, we had new friends come who've never really been to Timbers games before. So we bought 4 No Pity Scarves for the new people and some stickers and marched our asses on into the stadium. What a night, gentlemen. Wasn't it fun?
Oh, my God.
I'm just trying to get Greg to react. He's doing this weird resting Greg face that's not really engaging visually. Are you playing Rocket League right now? You can be honest.
Oh, dude, I so wish. It's more fun than doing this with you assholes.
Oh, you're so hurtful.
I'll make more entertaining faces for you then.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, nice. Okay, well.
I guess I know what I'm doing on Saturday night or Saturday morning or Sunday morning. You name it. You pick the time, and I'll do the crime with Josh. Let's talk about our predictions. So Greg predicted a 2-0 Timbers win with – wow. Did you pick a Mourinho and Asprilla goal?
I sure did.
Oh, my God. Becky, look at his butt. And Josh predicted a 2-1 win with a goal from Williamson and Asprilla. And I picked a 3-2 win with goals from Evander, Antony, and my favorite bench player, Paredes. So I honestly think, Josh, even though you got the closest score line in terms of the Bob Barker rules, I think Greg's predictions of the goal scorers negates the actual score line. And you even
100, I completely agree.
Okay, so Greg wins yet again this week. You can go fuck yourself.
Wait, no, I won last week.
Oh, wait, did you? You're right. That was pretty impressive because you even picked different goal scorers during the last episode. And then you were like, no, wait. I want to change this up and make it be Mourinho and Asprilla. And wow, what What level of Nostradamus do you bring to the table, Greg?
Soccer City talks to me sometimes, you know? It's here's the truth. The truth is I got a filtration system that takes all the fluoride that's added to our water out. So that was able to decalcify my pineal gland and open my third eye. So I can now pick up on the vibrations of Soccer City, USA.
Okay.
Your third eye, does it involve a brown hole?
It's the third eye with balls.
Oh my God, that was some Josh level conspiracy theory stuff.
I thought you were just like a time traveler or something.
Yeah.
No, Santi and Espria were hungry that first game, and I think they felt left out not getting in on the goal scoring party, and it was their time. And sure enough, those boys showed up. Did you guys see Espria put on his binoculars and look up at Netty Boy in the box after his goal?
No, I did not notice that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it was freezing out. I didn't notice.
Put his hands up over his eyes, and he looked up the box, and he pointed as if to say, yeah, Ned, that's me. I'm him. Pay me.
I'm in my late 30s. Keep me on the team.
So you think when he had that comment on Instagram, it was less about a disagreement with Phyllis Neville, but it was, in fact, a disagreement with Ned?
If I am not mistaken, it is a contract year for Dairon Asprilla.
And he probably has, since his age, what, like year by year, and he's getting pissed about that.
In fairness, I am going to be on the side of the Timbers in this instance. If he wants a multi-year deal at a reasonable salary, I feel like we have learned our lessons with signing aging stars who looked for multi-year deals. Now, granted, those were DP range contracts, but I feel like Espria is hot and cold. I think last year it was pretty much a cold year, but again, it was a cold year for the entire team versus just him individually. But I did not notice that little cheeky celebration. I wish I would have seen it. Should I rewatch the game?
Oh, definitely. No. Do not do that.
Oh, okay. That's fair. So my prediction was very wrong because Evander out again. And it's another game without like your main DP, which is a pretty shitty way to start the season. We didn't even say the final score. The final score was 2-2. And I've been listening to other Portland podcasts, specifically Borisonic and Outer Hoses, and the overall feeling was a tie that felt like a tie. I don't feel like it felt like a loss, even though it was late in the game, and I felt like DC United could have ran. I keep trying to say like terrible things, and I just keep stopping myself. Someone else help me out.
I felt the same way during, like, at the end of the match. And Greg wasn't talking to me that match, so I didn't have anyone to tell it to. So I just left.
Why wasn't he talking to you?
Because he didn't realize I was sitting right behind him.
Yeah, I just didn't see him. So,
wait, what?
No, I didn't know he was standing right behind me.
Him and Kelly, they didn't turn around once.
Do you not have spatial awareness, Greg?
He turned around to the right like this, and I was like, right there.
You just said you had a third eye that you opened up. Like, where the fuck is that eye?
Apparently, it closes back up with enough whiskey.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I completely agree with that. It felt like a tie. It didn't feel like anything was accomplished, and I really just like walked out of the stadium when it ended. I was like, fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two ways to look at this, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead of when I thought I would get to this point in the podcast, but I feel like it still fits. There's two ways to look at this draw and the start of our season altogether now after three matches. And I'm going to call them the Morrisonic way of looking at things and the Soccer Made in Portland way of looking at things. And the Morrisonic way is, hey, we're pro people and we're pro happiness. And, you know, we started out the season with more points than we thought we would. So we should be happy. And then this, which is valid. And the soccer made in Portland way is, if we miss the playoffs by 2 points, it is all on Phil Neville for this match. That is not good enough. You can't drop points at home.
Was that Chris Reifer?
Yes.
He seems like the more angry one on that podcast.
Yes, and that is also a valid take. So it's a draw that feels like a bad draw. I want to say.
It's not a loss, but it just feels like it could have been a draw that was avoidable.
If you told any of us before the season started, after two matches, we would be sitting on 4 points, we would have went, yeah, all right, cool. The way that it happened, and I'm sure everybody's heard this, everybody's talked about it, but it was a coaching fuck up. It was 100% on Phil. Jeremy Peterman. If listeners, you are not subscribed to Cascadia FC on Substack or Stumptown Footy on Substack or any of those, go support those guys because the independent writers do a great job. But Jeremy wrote a really well-written, in-depth piece of how the changes Phil made to the formation and who was on the field completely left us at the mercy of whatever DC wanted to do. Left our left flank completely wide open. Nobody knew where they were supposed to be. Nobody knew what they were supposed to be doing. And if you watch the broadcast, even the color commentator, when that DC player who makes the assist receives the ball just at the top of the 18, the color commentator goes, how is he that open? And it is completely because of a lack of prep, a lack of communication on Phil's part, and him experimenting at a time that cost us points.
So wait, are you Neville out?
Yes. Burn it all down. I hope we don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah. I, at that point, was, I think, 4 or 5 beers in, and I was no longer taking in the value of tactics during the match, and I did not rewatch this one. So I cannot talk about the formation changes. Like, what we were playing, our standard 4-2-3-1, and then what did we change to?
We changed to a 3 at the back, which made Anthony and Santi wingbacks. And I want to say, like, for most of the game, we were good but not great. Like, even up 2 goals, we were good but not great. We didn't have the same command of the midfield as we did against Colorado. I hear a lot of chatter of people saying Santi had a terrible game, which I don't know how you say a guy with a goal and an assist had a terrible game. But they say, you know, he turns the ball over too much. Okay. You know what? Part of an attacker's job is taking those low probability, high reward chances. And more often than not, they're not going to work out. But you got to try them. Blanco was amazing at those. Valeri was amazing at those. Santi's not Blanco or Valeri, but he's also 23.
So you're saying give him time.
Give him time. Let him take those chances. We just need to be more solid in the midfield and the back line to help him out. So we switched to a 3 in the back. And at first, it's working okay, but not great. It really goes to shit in the 81st minute when Nathan Fogaja comes on for Anthony. Now, all of a sudden, we have 2 strikers up top and our left flank completely vacated, and nobody had a clue what their role was.
Well, first of all, I don't appreciate any of your actual insight because it's intelligent, and I would remind you that this is the Portland Vanity Soccer Podcast, and we're going to have to ask you to dumb that down, especially for me and Josh, because I don't even know what you just said.
Farts, dicks, farts.
Yeah. dicks and farts. But bidets are good. But anyway, no, I remember parts of the end of that game. I didn't see again the formation change, but anytime you say Anthony playing as a wing back and then you swap him for Fakaja, there's just, you know, if you're going to play three in the back, then you need to just play five in the back and protect your lead. If you're going to park the bus, then park it versus having wing backs. I would rather play a different formation. So, again, the positive takeaway from that is it's still a point. Even when we did have a fuck up from Phyllis, and with that point, like again, like we're in first place, Greg. This is like case in point what it is for Spurs for this year, where it's like new coach and new tactics and playing style, and we had an unbelievable first 10 games in the Premier League, and so it changed everyone's expectations to we could win the league or we should be in Champions League instead of, wow, it'd be great if we even hit the Europa League this year. And I think the same thing for the Timbers, where it's like, this is the best start I read for any Timbers head coach and in MLS era. And so even though he screwed it up, it still mustered out a point. And then I think it was good.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't even know any of the players' names or numbers or positions. So I just go by feeling, and I felt cold. Yeah. And then I left when I got too cold.
What time did you leave?
After the game.
So you stayed the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were implying that you got cold and you left.
I was cold, and then I left at the end.
At the end.
I thought maybe we'd have a cool goal at the end and squeak out a win. But, yeah, it wasn't happening, and it was obvious it wasn't happening.
Yeah, well, the other thing I would say about this match is that Christian Benteke pulled up with a injury in warm-ups, if you guys heard that or saw that or read that. And what do you think? Did he really get an injury, or he just didn't want to play on turf?
He didn't want to play in 30-degree weather on turf.
Do you think he doesn't care about his team as much as everyone on the Timbers cares about their team, minus Evander?
No one cares about it. No one wanted to be there. That was it was like a horrible day. You know, like, all right. It was like
it was a horrible day. Did you see the Colorado LAFC snowball?
I don't know if that was Salt Lake.
There was Salt Lake, six inches of snow.
Right. Yeah.
My favorite thing ever was seeing Hugo Lloris in just complete utter not knowing what to do, covered in snow, and the ball just skips by him and he does this weird side dive and it's totally misplaced and mistimed, and he gets up and he's like,
you know, that
you can do about
it. I love that orange ball. I wish we played with orange balls more.
Yeah,
you remember, like, in the Premier League, it's like once winter comes, it's like yellow ball time.
Oh, you have to, and like, of the rain.
I know, but it should be the same way with us. We play with a white ball. I would love to play with a colored ball.
Yeah.
So, can we talk about the first goal that DC scored against us?
Yeah.
So, the first goal DC gets against us is a freak set piece ball in to the box. Like, five Timbers put their hands up to appeal for offside, and the ball ricochets off Diego Chara's hand. Handball penalty. I did an extensive deep dive doing much research and journalism to try to find out just how much defenders appealing for offside influences the referee's decision. And I could not find a single fucking thing to suggest anything either way. Why do they do this? And why do they do it in the box? Diego's almost as old as I am. He's an absolute professional. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Greg, he's also in shape. He's in the same shape you're in.
Yeah. There. You and Diego Char are physically the same.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're just a little taller.
I didn't expect Josh to go down that route. That was actually really funny. But I agree. What is the point? Like, if you call for, you know, to an official to, you know, go for an offside call, in the box when someone's actively throwing in a cross, it's dumb. You should know better, especially as the captain. And speaking of, I'll change the topic when we're done talking about this. Sorry.
Well, like, so you have to think, if every single defender in every single league in the world does this, there's got to be a reason. But it's, I don't ever see a defender raising their hand influencing a referee, and to do it in the box is just completely brain dead.
That's what I was going to say, is it's an act of play in the box. And you, even if you think it should be offside, they're not going to, at this point, they're not going to call it anyway. It's until the play is over, because if it goes in for a goal and they're offside, then they'll call it back. But that's, at this stage, they're not calling it anymore. So there's no need to do that. It's very dumb. And I would also say, it was very dumb of him to get that yellow card very early on in the match, because it changes the way he has to play.
That was not his fault. If you go back and look, not only is it not a yellow card, it's not even a foul.
What? Really?
100% clean win of the ball. The classic Diego Chara step around you from behind challenge he does in every single match. And that brings me to the next point. The refs did not cost us the game. However, it was absolutely atrocious.
Super lopsided, missed calls, and then it was that play where Espria was God damn it, Josh. when Espria was, it was like, well, like 2 or 3 minutes after the Diego yellow card, and then Espria is running for a loose ball on the right wing, and he's going down, then he gets tackled, and what is clearly not a ball touching moment for the defender, and no card, or no, not even a foul for that one against Espria. And you're just like, what are you watching? It was the first game, the referees were acceptable and consistent, which is what I care about. Like, if you're going to be a bad referee, that's fine. Then just be bad the whole game. Don't
be
bad.
If you're bad to both sides equally, then fine. Everything's cool. Yeah.
Yep. But that was for Chara to get a yellow card on that, and then for the next one to not be a foul, was an egregious error on the SCAB referees.
Yeah, no. Greg, what do you have to say about that?
MLS needs to get their shit together and pay the referees something fair. I never liked our referees to begin with. I don't think anybody did. However, when you bring up a bunch of refs that just aren't experienced and haven't done what it takes to get to this level, more often than not, they're not going to rise to the day. They're not going to rise to the challenge. And so far we're seeing repeatedly that they are not. It is frustrating. This thing needs to end.
Yeah,
I agree.
I agree as well. I think Randy was always pro MLS refs anyway, though, too. If you guys remember, he was like, oh man, I love the pro referees. They're really good. The other thing that we had here in the notes was, it was fun to see our new keeper, Maxime Crépeau. And great game. I believe he had some delightful fromage prior to coming out onto the pitch.
He had a great game.
Yeah, he looked amazing out there.
He had a great game.
Yes.
Were you going to disagree, Josh? That
no, I actually you like disagreed. I like him a lot.
Do you like him or Pantomis more?
Him.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like he seems on target more. Like, he seems like he has like this laser focus. Even though he let a few goals by.
Yeah, it's just some stuff.
Yeah, shit happens.
No, I thought he played amazing. He had some amazing saves in that match, and I am excited to see what he does through the course of a regular season. And the only concern that I have leading into this summer with any international windows is that Zach McGraw, Miller, and Crépeau are going to be gone. And so maybe that's why we're keeping such a deep bench in terms of other center backs. Like, you look at Arujo and Zuperich, who, again, Zuperich is like one of our main guys for the past like 3 years or whatnot, and Mabiala. And then maybe that's why we're carrying three legit keepers with Pantomis, Muse, and Crépeau. But it is definitely going to be an interesting summer when, you know, the main bit of our defense is out. And our other ones are not practiced. So,
yeah.
We'll save that for a later time. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about from this DC United match?
I want to talk about how the main part of our defense was missing from the next game.
Oh.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just to wrap up DC, I'm just going to say Phil deserved 0 points, so the fact that the team got away with one is fine.
Okay. So, again, Greg is Phil is out. We can establish that now in episode 5 of this season. So, thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Greg, for ruining the whole season for us again.
I do what I can.
Yeah, like, can't wait to hear what intelligent shit he wrote for this one now, too. Josh, you can just have... Josh, you want to get a beer real quick while Greg does this, and then we can come
Greg
back?
Greg is starting to make me sound stupid.
Oh,
shit.
All right, so let's talk about the next match. We didn't do any predictions for this one, so there is no accountability, but... The dark sorcery of Evander. An undeserved-ish win against New York City FC. I only watched parts of this because I was in Cannon Beach after I got back from my parents' house last week in New Hampshire packing up all their belongings, which they have way too many of. And if I could set their house on fire, I would have done that. But that's another story for a different podcast that
Poor house on fire.
Yeah. Real quick, just for the listeners, we learned that my parents' house in New Hampshire used to be a brothel. So I wondered why the one time I sat on the toilet seat and had a funky itch. And now I know why. But anyway, moving into New York City FC away, growing up as a Yankees fan, you know, I was pumped when they had announced they were going to have soccer there. Like, I was clearly never going to root for NYCFC, but it's like, oh, they'll figure it out. They're going to get a stadium in the Bronx. And then watching soccer matches in that stadium is, I can think of a lot of things I would rather do. And that, like, the camera angles are fucking weird. The fans, the way they're situated throughout the stadium is just, it's not at all conducive for it. And it really is a bummer to try to watch.
And it looks like no one's ever there.
It's because they're not.
They're not. And that stadium's huge. And it's a dangerous part of the neighborhood.
I used to go to there quite a bit when I was a kid growing up in New Jersey. Go see some Yankees games.
Greg almost got killed when he went to Yankee Stadium.
Did you?
Oh, I didn't actually go to the Bronx when I went to New York. I almost got killed in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, when he went to Ebbets Field or whatever projects that is now.
Yeah. Hey, Brooklyn's kind of a fun spot. I don't mind getting stabbed in Brooklyn. But so, yeah, the Timbers pull off what is a miraculous 2-1 win in, I would say, I don't even have like that in our team DNA to be down like that to come back and win it 2-1 with those style of goals. That
both of them.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony's goal was unfreaking believable. Just a power shot.
Great, it like, Josh. Wasn't even like, yeah, like wasn't even a touch.
No, just
it was power just like straight, just a power shot straight in the back of your throat. I mean, straight in the back of the net.
Sorry, Greg, I'm having too much fun today.
Do I cut that or leave it?
Leave it.
All right, it stays.
Okay.
And this talking, so too.
That was the only – we win 2-1 in the 7th minute of stoppage, and that was really the only positive that I took away from this is we have a team that doesn't give up. And if you guys remember how many times we watched this team give up over the last few seasons, it was absolutely incredible to see them not settle.
And did you see how, with Evander's goal, how happy he was to score?
Yeah.
Like he was truly, truly happy. Like, and he didn't seem that way last year at all. He seemed like he was like, just whatever, like too cool for school. And this year he actually like seems like he's grateful for a goal. He turned on at what, 97 minutes?
If you listen to Phil's presser, he had been wanting to take Evander off since the 60th minute, and Evander kept saying, no, I can do this, no, I can do this, no, I can do this. And it did take him most of the game to find his footing, but he did. First 25 minutes, we were absolute garbage. Looked like a high school team going in against these guys.
But if you watch the stats, because we were talking about it, the stats, like on paper, said we were doing great. We're better than them in every way. But
not in the first 25 minutes.
We were just so shitty. And I fell asleep like five times.
We're giving the ball away in the midfield. We're not winning the ball in the midfield. We're losing second balls. Highlight both of our center backs, but particularly Zach, played absolute garbage.
Yeah.
He was getting beat. He was getting run over. He was getting turned on. He was passing the ball to the other team 5 feet away from him when he's the last man back. And I think that's why he got his yellow card, was he was just absolutely pissed at himself and frustrated. And he never really got into the game.
Yeah, and then you make stupid mistakes.
Yeah. And he did. He did for the whole thing.
But other Miller was really good.
I'm still so surprised how short he is in comparison to McGraw for being a center back of his ability and stature. So he's
like, Zach is really tall though, isn't he?
Zach McGraw is really tall, but Miller, I feel like Zach in journalism, Zach, McGraw and Zuperich are the same height as my bet. I'm going to find out.
I love how I come in here and I want to talk football and you guys just want to talk about how fuckable our players are.
Sometimes you want to fuck the players.
Yeah, I mean, like, so Zuperich is 6'1". Anyone want to take a guess about how tall Zach McGraw is?
6'2".
6'4".
Ooh, we're about to find out. 6'4" is correct.
Tallest Canadian. Now,
we're going to look at Kamal Miller and
5'8".
Says he's 6 feet tall.
6 feet tall.
Yeah, he doesn't look 6 feet tall.
Maybe he's got lifts in his shoes.
That's possible. Like he gets those like remember those kids that like had uneven feet when they were growing up and they had to get like, extra sole on the one shoe.
It was like 6 inches long.
All right, Greg, back to soccer.
Sorry, Greg. Oh, so what did we decide? Who's the most fuckable center back?
Zach. He's no. He's in great shape.
He's got those big arms. He's got those big arms
that when his whole body.
When he puts them around you, you just feel like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, see, lube them up, feel okay.
If all of our center backs, I would probably go home with Larry's. He seems the most enjoyable and the most fun. I would absolutely avoid Dario Zuperich because I feel like he would make me uncomfortable.
Zup would be cold. You're right. Larry's would 100% take you out for a really nice meal first.
Yeah, but he'd also make you pay, but he'd make you pay for it.
Oh.
And
He is a consummate gentleman. He would dress nice. He would foot the bill. He would smell good.
Did he ever give Jonathan anything for his vestment?
He did.
Other than thanking
me. Thank you to you on Instagram. But that still worked because he corrected it later, which made it even funnier. And he just crossed out your name and then added mine below it. It was like
so great.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Like Zuperich, no. I feel like Zuperich would take me to like a sauerkraut house. And then it'd be like a bowl of borscht. And then he'd put me in the corner and tell me I couldn't leave for like 6 hours. And then I'd be like, can I go home now? And he'd be like, fine. And then he would
you live here now.
Yeah, he'd be smoking, like chain smoking cigarettes the entire time. So
he was lighting one with the butt of the last one.
Yeah. And he puts them out like on his hand instead of,
that's the good old days.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess we can get back to soccer so Greg can pretend to enjoy the podcast.
Did the pitch feel more claustrophobic than usual to you guys too? Because it felt more claustrophobic than usual to me.
Because it's short, it's thinner than
But I think they shortened it even from last season by a couple of feet. I thought I heard someone say.
I don't think you can shorten it, but I know the width play you can adjust the width of the pitch.
It felt more claustrophobic than usual. And I believe, what minute was it? Yeah, the 69th minute. Nathan comes on for Dairon, and suddenly our attack gets a lot more vertical. We're both hitting long balls over, and we're actually breaking lines in the midfield. And it was around the 70th minute that I said, I think I'd be thrilled with a draw at this point.
I think I said the same thing. I think I said something like, yeah, we're going to I'm fine with the draw. And then out of nowhere, boom, pow.
Boom, pow.
Boom, pow.
Boom, pow. Boom, pow.
Mascara sets up that goal seemingly out of nowhere. I'm still not as high on Mascara as you fuckers were, saying he's definitely going to be in Europe by this time. His defense is still absolute garbage, but his offensive contributions, I don't know how he just created that out of nothing, but it was outstanding. Tony Tone slots it home.
But we didn't say he was going to be in Europe, like, playing. We said maybe he can go to Europe.
Like, yeah, it was more like a vacation to Portugal.
Yeah.
That's what we were shooting for.
Gotcha. Yeah. What did you think we meant?
Yeah.
Dumbasses.
Really quick, dimensions, because this is what's on Transfermarkt, so I cannot tell you what these are in feet or yards, but NYCFC is 100 meters by 64 meters, and the Timbers is 101 meters by 69 meters.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You can see it because the box is like 5 feet from the, like, and the edge.
The other thing about it, too, are the camera angles. So that stadium looks even smaller just given the camera angles that they have to use to make it work. I remember watching one of the early NYCFC games when Mix Diskerud signed for them, and it was like David Villa, and the way the angle was showing, it was like every player was right on top of each other the whole game. And even though it's not, if you had a like complete aerial view looking down, it would be more spaced out, but it's the camera angles and the length of the problems.
Not everyone can play in a baseball stadium.
Are you sure?
I know we can.
Especially not the Yankees.
Yeah, that's true.
They're so bad.
So bad.
They're so bad right now.
Let's see what happens this year. It'll be fine. No big deal.
This was the kind of win that left me feeling like if the right true DP number 9 comes in, we could win the Shield without a single clean sheet all season long.
I totally
agree. Win the Shield.
With zero clean sheets.
Yeah, I mean, this is where this is the kind of Greg that I like, making ridiculous predictions very early on in the season. It's like kind of like what me and Josh usually do, and then we blame Greg at the end of the season for our misgivings and failures. But again, I said this before with the DC game, but this is three games, the first three games of the season, two wins and a draw with like 7 points. That's insane for us.
Mm-hmm. With insane. Only with a DP on the field for only one of those matches.
Did you guys see the new Twitter news today?
The Twitter nudes?
Well, yeah, not just the nudes. The news
about
a certain signing that we could have coming up.
Who? What? What are you talking about?
I don't know. What's his name? Jonathan. What's his name? I never pronounce it right.
Cabecita.
Cabecita Rodriguez.
Are we ready to move on to this?
No.
This shit's so off the rails. How did you move over to that, Josh? That was,
because he said, what's it called?
We need a DP number 9 striker.
Yeah.
I was setting you up.
I know, and I was trying to do it, and then he came in and started talking. You ruined it, and then I forgot his name.
You knocked it out of the park, and then Jonathan pulled, what was that dude?
I'm the asshole?
Yeah, you're that Chicago Cubs fan that stuck his glove out and interfered with the play.
Yeah. Man, that's... You guys are stone cold today. That's lethal.
That was a beautiful segue that you just completely destroyed.
We normally agree when we're going to be done talking about a match. You should have given me a visual signal, Greg. It's your fault. Mm. Yeah, see? Like, Josh just gave me a visual signal.
All right, here's your visual signal.
Cabecita Rodriguez! Uruguayan from Club America!
Well, Josh can get a new job at the Tootin. Yeah, that'd be great.
He's old, but he's a number 9. And I hear that he has signed.
So,
well, he's technically a winger for Club America, but
yeah,
he could be a nine for us.
What do you guys think?
6.5. I think experience wise, he could be good. I don't like old players that come in, but who knows? It's so early in the season. I really can't tell you. I don't follow them, so I don't watch him play. So I really don't know anything about him.
So a week ago, when
Greg had
it, seemed like the Cabecita Bertarame race happening. You sons of bitches. I think everybody was in agreement that Bertarame was the dream.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well,
and Cabecita was going to be like a letdown if that's what it ended up being. We all watched Twitter. We all saw all that irreputable journalism from South America saying this, saying that. In hindsight, that $15 million offer, that was probably an overpay. And, like, sure, like, people are saying Bertarame could have come into MLS and, like, competed for the Golden Boot immediately. Okay, maybe. Maybe he gets hurt on his third match and he's out for the rest of the season and we just drop $15 million on him. Now that the dust is settling and Tommy Scoops is saying as of Sunday morning, all the major points of the deal have been done. And when Tommy Scoops makes a report like this, you could generally treat it as if it's already happened. I'm more excited than I thought I would be. I hope it's a short-term contract. I wouldn't even be mad if it was like a one-year loaner deal where we just paid him like a couple million bucks and, you know, reevaluated at the end of the season how it went. But like Josh says, he has the experience. Club America's the biggest club in the Western Hemisphere, and he's been there. He's done it. So, yeah, I'm more excited than I thought I would be.
So I was leading into it with the same type of mindset where I'm like, we have to get Bertarame. We have to get him. I can't believe that we're going to sign an over 30-year-old striker. But again, it's a 30-year-old striker who's had success in tons of places. And if anything, it's just going to bring some experience. But when you were talking about the $15 million for Bertarame, I read at one point it was up to $18 million, which yeah, to me is insane. So again, you can't always compare the Premier League to, you know, MLS, obviously, but Spurs signed Timo Werner with an option to buy for 15 million pounds. And so that's close enough to being $18 or $19 million. And so if you can buy someone who's a world-class, you know, starting player for the German national team for that type of money, it seems like a waste of money to spend 18 on someone who is, Argentinian?
Uruguayan. Bertarame. Oh, no, Bertarame, he is Argentinian, yeah.
And then can't even make it into their national team setup and is trying to stay in Mexico so he can hopefully make theirs. And so, like, when you compare those two bits of money, again, like, you know, Timo Werner doesn't want to come play in MLS at this stage of his career, but it's so weird to me to think about it in that sense where we were about to spend that type of money on a player who like it could be spent better elsewhere. And like you said, length of contract really matters. If he's here for a year or two, I think I'm fine with that. I saw a link on Twitter and you just held up your phone.
I think it's the same link you're talking about. This, I'm not going to trust them. I only trust Tommy Scoops, but they say it's a 3-year contract with an extension option for about $5 million.
So, and that's what's his annual salary with that?
They don't usually say. I think we'd have to find out during the mid-year release of salaries.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, anyone we bring in for designated player money has to contribute as a designated player. We talked about this with Jimmy Chara for a long time. Jaroslav Nizgoda, like all these players who we bring in for big fees that don't produce. And so it just, if we take the gamble on him, it has to be a win, and it has to be someone who's going to come in and score 15 goals in a season.
It feels like it could be a win. You know, but I guess we'll find out. Like, But yeah, we don't have a good history of this at all.
That's the hard-hitting commentary you can expect to find at PVSP. I guess we'll find out.
I guess right, we will find out.
All right, so say we sign him and say he is going to start his first match. Yeah, Josh, I mean, I guess we will have to wait and see. But if he does join us and say he's on the bench for the next away game and then he starts the next home game, if it's Cabecita, how many goals do you think he puts in for us this season, all competitions?
Josh?
Maybe 20.
Oh, okay.
Really?
I respect that.
He should be plug and play. You know, he has the experience and the amount we're paying him at that age, he should be able to really be plug and play.
Okay, I like it. What about you, Greg?
I give him 12, but he'll have like at least 20 overall contributions with 12 individual goals.
Okay.
We're not a club like Atlanta, where, you know, or LAFC, where one guy runs away with all the goals for the season. We've been a club for a long time where we spread it around, and right now we have what, 4 or 5 different goal scorers, and we're just in the third game. Where you look at DC United and, you know, they got one guy scoring hat tricks, and then you look at New York City where they only have one goal in 3 matches.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, that's just our DNA, is we don't have one person running away with it. So
but we also do have a lot of good forwards that can pass the ball into someone. So, agreed. You know, he could actually be a finisher. Like, usually we have a touch, another touch, and then try for goal. And he could be like a one touch, just pia, 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 score.
I don't know if this is in his wheelhouse. Okay, I'll let Jonathan finish laughing.
Man, Josh, you were lights out on this episode. This is the best part is that you're sober. When I act up a ton, it's usually because I've had a couple beverages, but this evening I haven't had any. So I'm going to jump in with my prediction, and I think he's going to score 15 goals and have 5 assists. So I say a 20, same with you, Greg, but more in the goal department than anything else.
Yeah. I think he's going to get more than 5 assists because, I mean, look at how did Evander score against NYCFC? Tony Tone got it on the wing and then just lightly put it into space for Evander to run up on and bash it. If Cabecita can almost be like a post-up and hold the ball long enough to find that space for Evander to crush it, you know, that's 10 assists. Boom, right there, done.
What's tenesis?
Tenesis? I have tenesis. I have to see my doctor about it.
Tendinitis?
Tendinitis. Yeah, I mean, I don't think your predictions are far off. And again, like, I would assume that they would be able to, you know, that someone's doing some scouting and it's finally not Gavin Wilkinson. So hopefully it's, you know.
I think it's Rocky.
Wait, tangent, believe it or not, on Portland Vanity Soccer Podcast, but Rocky? Was he ever really a scout, or what did he do? Someone, like Randy, tried to sell that at one point, and I still don't believe him.
Selling it to me forever, so I'm assuming. Yeah. He knows how to scout old Timbers gear.
He does, but all right, back on track. Sorry, Greg. Another little side hustle for this episode, but...
Ping, pang, zoom, zing, zang.
Zing, 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 zang. Go, 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 go. So hopefully we get to see him starting in Portland for the next match that we have at home. And I hope to see all of our listeners at the match, too. Yay.
I won't be there.
What?
I'm going to see
Go to Key Bank and say hi to Jonathan.
I'm going to miss the next home match because I'm going to see Mandy Patinkin.
What the hell is that?
You don't know who Mandy Patinkin is?
No. You're like that dude talking about some random like indie band, or you've never heard of them. They're like so popular,
he's not indie. He's one of the best actors of our generation. He was Inigo Montoya in Princess Bride.
Oh, I didn't know him by his name. You should have said his name was Inigo Montoya.
How do you not know him by his name?
You're a dumbass.
What other movies has he been in? Go. Name five other movies.
He was in the TV show with Claire Danes, whatever it was called.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Josh.
With the Ginger.
Death and Other Details.
Yeah, so, okay. My point being is that you can't, and so you should have just said Inigo Montoya, and then I'd have been like, oh, yeah, I totally know who you mean.
Homeland, Criminal Minds, Chicago. Yeah, you're
Homeland. Yeah,
he's journalism's in the moment. I see him reading shit off of another screen.
Give him a ticket, and he could take him to the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, bring Manny Patinkin to the match?
That's what I'm saying.
I bet you he likes soccer.
What do you mean you're seeing him? What is he doing? Is he doing stand-up? Is he doing a play? Is he, like, reading poetry?
Stand-up and singing.
Huh.
Sword fighting at Powell's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, he's going to do, like, a handful of songs and, like, talk in between them.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you guys can be uncultured twats while I go. Yeah.
Oh, I am.
No, I'm a little hurt on that one. I feel like I'm semi-cultured at least. So, well, I hope you have a good time. Not at the game. I will be enjoying myself at the game because we have friends coming to town, Chris and Andy, which I'm very excited about. I miss them very much. Josh, are you going to the game?
Maybe. I don't know. If Margo wants to go, then I'll go.
Why do you end up with Margo on all game days? It makes no sense.
It's for like the first half of the season, it's always that way. And then the second half, it's always the other way. So, yeah.
Well, if Margo wants my ticket, she can have it.
Maybe, yeah. That's a good idea. Then I don't have to buy one.
Yeah. Well, I'm just really disappointed in both of you.
I've never not been disappointed in me. So
that's fair. Is that like what your parents said to you? Was that like your mom's last words before she died?
I'm disappointed in you.
All right. We'll see what Cabecita brings to the table, assuming he's being signed. We've done a lot about him on this episode, but there was a link that I saw from a verified reputable source in Mexico, so I think it's probably close to likely. And there were quotes from the agent of Bertarame saying that while he liked the idea of Portland, he wanted to stay in his current setting. So I think
that'll be a good move, and I'm glad it didn't happen.
Yeah. Same here. I'd rather waste $5 million than $18 million.
All day long.
Yeah.
Now let's get on to predictions, Jonathan.
Ooh, predictions.
Predicted games in future time.
I'm really just trying to troll Greg at this point. That's the whole episode is turned into that. So predictions. All right. We got coming up this Saturday, March 16th, the Timbers at Houston Dynamo at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Greg, what is your prediction?
We suffer our first loss of the season 2-1.
You fucking cunt. Who scores?
Oh, I don't even care.
Does not care about goal.
Dairon.
Dairon. Okay. Josh.
I think it's going to be, we're going to win 3-0. And we're also going to get, someone's going to red card Steve Clark.
So we're winning 3-0. Do you want to make any goal predictions on who's going to score?
Or I just can't figure it out.
Steve Clark, red card. Okay.
No, someone's going to give Steve, we're going to red card Steve Clark, like kick him in the face or something.
Oh, we are going to get a red.
Yes.
We get a red card.
We will physically abuse Steve Clark.
Someone physically assaulted Steve Clark.
Yep. That's a good point. And then pull a shank out of their sock and cut off his tattoos.
After it was
And then wear it. This is all in the same time frame. Cut off the tattoos and then sew them somehow to their face and then play the rest of the match pretending to be Steve Clark and letting all the goals in. That's how we get three.
I stopped typing, but I still appreciate your passion for this prediction. It seems very realistic.
Yeah, it seems doable. Yeah. You? What about you?
I think I'm going to go for a 3-1 win for the Timbers. And I am saying that we get a brace from Evander and Cabecita comes on as a sub and scores the final goal.
Hold on. It's Monday. Ooh. We play this match on Saturday. You think they're going to get the deal done, get him to Portland, get him to meet the team, and play on Saturday?
As a sub. I think he says like a 10-minute cameo because we're doing so well. Like we're up to... we're up 2-0, and it's the 85th minute or 80th minute.
Okay. I'll bet you a bottle of whiskey he doesn't even travel with the team.
I think he wouldn't travel with the team. I think he would fly to Houston and then travel home with the team.
Oh, Greg has my number. Betting. I love.
And then someone will ask him what size jersey he wears, and then they'll make one for him.
Yeah. Oh, really quick, before we finish these predictions, I did not like the grandfather's shirt kit without the sponsor on the front. It was way...
The green one?
Yeah. I'll take the pine tree one all day long, but the other one...
Yeah, the green does not look good. It looks like it's missing something.
Yeah, it just should just be a green shirt, and that would be fine. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Back to the prediction. Greg, I will not take that bet because I am not confident in my prediction. But I'm confident on the scoreboard.
You sound like a man who lacks conviction.
Ooh.
You beta cuck.
I will convict you any day you want. arrested. So, all right, cool. Well, those are, I think, some pretty fun predictions. And now we need to move on to the game that Greg is not going to go to because he's decided that he doesn't care about the Timbers anymore and instead wants to go watch the Princess Bride dude do some stand-up songs and things where apparently he is now more cultured than me and Josh. So, Greg, what is your prediction for the game that you don't care about?
2-2 draw.
Oh, God. Where's your heart, man?
I'm feeling the pragmatism. That's what my third eye is telling me this week. Pragmatism.
It's leaky.
2-2 draw, and Manny Patinkin does a second encore.
Manny, how do you even spell
previously
it?
Unreleased tracks?
Patinkin does a second encore. I don't even know how to spell his name. Okay.
I don't know what could happen. I feel Philly's always so good. Like maybe it'll be 0-0, or maybe we're capable of squeaking one away in like the 90th again, like we did. I really don't know. It's like it's hard to pick two games ahead, you know. So I'm gonna say 0-0.
0-0 draw. Another like boring ass.
Dude, it's Philly. We have to fly across the country.
It's at home.
The weather sucks. Oh, that's home?
Yeah.
Shit, take it back.
Okay.
Take it back. I thought it was away. I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. 3-2.
Oh, there we go. 3-2.
Brace. Antony. I mean... Hat trick. Shit, what's a three called? Hat trick.
Antony hat trick. Yeah. Josh, there is definitely something wrong with you today. It's infectious. It's starting to like get into me. I feel like I'm going to act a fool tonight.
I don't have a child. I'm happy.
Oh, nice. Good for you. So Antony hat trick. Okay. I am going to go with... A 3-2 is a good choice for Philly. Philly's wasn't a good it? Team. I don't feel like we're going to bang in 4 on this one, but I'm going to go back to the Stone Cold prediction of 4-2, and I'm going to say Cabecita. First hat trick in MLS Timbers regular season. And a goal from Paredes because he's now my favorite bench player. One from
coming off the bench, Parades. Boy.
Parades? I can't even spell his name.
Parade.
Yeah, it works for me. No one else can see these notes except for you two. So,
and I can't even read, according to Randy.
Yeah. I mean, is he wrong?
No.
All right. Well, speaking of matches, I'm going to take this from you, Greg, because why not? We got three upcoming matches here. We just talked about two of them, and the third one coming up after that is away at Vancouver on Saturday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific. None of us losers are going to go to that away game, although I was thinking about trying to make that happen, but it's just not realistic. However, while we have nothing to officially announce yet, we are working towards a Portland Vanity Soccer podcast. I have a twofer here for you guys. One, we're going to do a live recording for our 100th episode. We're still determining dates and where we might do that from. So we'll make that a fun party extravaganza. And then we haven't decided yet as a crew, but I think we're going to go to an away game this year, the three of us. And maybe we share a hotel room with one bed and see what happens. Turn out the lights, maybe play, you know, who's
talk
in my
about
mouth.
The first thing that pops up.
Yep.
Who's in my mouth?
I'll teach you how to open your third eye.
Excellent. When we do decide, we will let our listeners know where we're going to go. And if anyone of you weirdos that wants to go to that same away game, if we get enough people, we'll find a bar that we can all go hang out at pre-match and get weird. So, yeah. Weird. Details coming up maybe in the next episode. We're still waiting for seeing what happens with the League's Cup schedule, because if that's away with Lyon in Mexico, like, that is exactly where we're going. And then we're going to die in some drug den and probably get kidnapped before we go to the drug den. And
yes. Oh, sorry. See. See.
It's going to be really fun. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I got to pee. What's the closing track?
Oh, hey, closing track. Hey, guys. I chose Wake the Dead by Comeback Kid, and I chose that song.
Oh, Comeback Kid.
You don't like Comeback Kid?
I love Comeback Kid.
Yeah. I feel like Wake the Dead, when you listen to the song, was fitting for the match with New York City FC, because we woke the dead when we were down 1-0 and came back and won 2-1.
Good job. We have a playlist of kick-ass songs we play on Spotify. Search Radio Free PVSP to find those songs. Email us at portlandvanity@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 503-583-4235. Our Instagram, Portland Vanity. Twitter, PDX Vanity Soccer. We are now available on iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, and everywhere else you choose to listen to podcasts. Jonathan loves to nibble on balls. Have a great time, everyone.
Farmers only?
Farmers Only is PDX Vanity. Check us out. Bang a cow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
The day.
That's definitely a cut. That's 52 minutes and 25 seconds. Oh my word, Josh. Wow. Sorry, Greg. I will make this up to you. I'll bring you booze you can take home. And we somehow kept the power shot in the throat.
They gotta keep it that way.
Wow, all right. And the colored ball. Anyway. So we'll get back to this comment in 5 seconds. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but he's also pro killing babies, so.
What kind of babies, Josh?
Live ones.
Jeez.
Cut that out. Yeah. Went nowhere. That was stupid. That's
30 minutes. Yeah. So. Oh, you're recording this. God damn it. Oh, yeah. Son of a bitch. Greg has me over the barrel. I didn't
get it. I got your back. I'll throw anyone under the bus at any time.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
I'll fight.
I can stop crying now.
Yeah, you're just not cool enough. Like Greg.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for helping me move the other day.
Yeah, we moved. We moved three things out of a truck.
I couldn't do that shit by myself.
Well, you probably could have if you had to.
If I had to, I could have, but I didn't want to. And I just want you guys to know that if you ever ask me to do the same for you, I will politely decline.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, should we get started?
You're just not a good friend or a person.
Yeah, that's true. All true. And your daughter ate my fucking double stuffed Oreo. She ate like 10 of them shits. Goddamn feral cat. So,
bitch, she likes her Oreos.
When we hit 7:45, I'll start.